And I did want to also, as I said, St. Patrick's Day is coming up next week. It's going to be huge, you know. March 17th, and everyone here, you know, gets excited about St. Patrick's Day. And I thought it would be a perfect thing to have our friend Mike from Mulligan's come in and talk about it. And I was just looking at travel restrictions and what's going on with that for Ireland. It says the Irish government announced that travelers from other countries are no longer required to present proof of vaccination or recovery from the coronavirus. Besides, they are also exempted from the requirement to fill in the passenger locator form, PLF. So turn your head around, stop texting, Mike, and tell me what, because you just were there. I want to hear, when did you get back from Ireland?
I got back last week. Oh. 7 days ago.
Wow, that was really soon. Okay, so that's very recent. What was it like for you? Did you find it changed? What was the process of dealing with the COVID restrictions?
Well, there? A week before we got to Ireland, the government opened up the bars and public spaces, and there was no longer vaccine requirements or anything like that required. So everybody came out in force. So you can imagine what a party it was in Ireland.
Wow,
after
yeah.
2 years. And also, did you know that the Irish people have the biggest vaccine percentage of vaccinated people in the world?
I did not know
91%.
That. 91%.
Wow. Yeah, but you know why, right?
No, I don't.
Everybody wants to go to the pubs, so they don't care. They didn't look into the details of what the vaccination does. All they cared about was being locked up at home and not being able to socialize, which is what Irish people are all about.
Yeah.
Meet people, see people, and maybe have a beverage now and again. So
maybe.
It was a big relief. We got home, and up to that, pubs were closed at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
And were very strict, and everybody adhered to the rules. So everything opened up just before I got there, so it was kind of different.
Well, that's exciting. Well, the biggest party in the Pacific is going to be happening at Mulligan's on the Blue Thursday. It's just a week and a day away. There's going to be some amazing music. One of our friends, Willie Wainwright, who does a show here on Fridays, is amazing.
Willie's been very cool, and we had an Irish boy playing with him, but he had to go back to Ireland. So he's teamed up with Tempe and Naor, and they're going to do a Celtic connection. They've been learning Irish songs. Of course, Willie used to play with the Celtic Tigers.
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, so he's got the repertoire. So we're kind of excited to see what they come up with. And they're playing from 12 to 2.
And your doors open at 11,
mm-hmm.
But the whole day is packed with music. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, stage managing is going to be crazy because you've got so many people coming and going. The Celtic connection is going to be there. Murray Thorne has been doing music there at Mulligan's
Murray
for
Thorne
years,
was
right?
The Celtic Tigers for years.
Yeah.
And he's back, and he's helping us out, and he's going to do a gig at 5 o'clock, do all the Irish set. And then I don't know if you've seen Justin Morris or Orion Hitzig and Matt Delomo, the Brown Chicken, Brown Cow.
Oh, that's
kinda,
them. They're great.
Yeah. They're going to play as well, banjo, mandolin, and things like that to keep it Irish.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then, of course, we have the Isle of Maui Pipe Band.
That is one of the great ones. And you were telling me you have the best, I mean, we're talking world champion bagpipe player, Jack Lee.
That's right. That's he's Canadian, believe it or not.
I didn't know
and
that.
And he's won the world championship 7 times.
That's
tough.
And then
I hear
tough.
His son is even better. And he's so anyway, Allison's been very kind to us, and she said everybody's excited to come out. So there's about 30 people in the pipe band.
Not.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most we've ever had. So I don't even know where
How
we're going to put the cars.
How do you put 30 people on the stage?
They're going to be out on the lawn.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to do it out in the lawn, and they're doing it at 4 o'clock and 7 p.m.
That's going to be quite an experience, huh?
Pretty excited about that.
Yeah,
so,
that's going to be amazing.
Cool.
It's got to be hard to, you don't even need to mic bagpipe players,
no,
do you?
No,
because they're loud.
Close your ears sometimes if it goes on too long.
I was going to say, trying to mic bagpipe, 30 bagpipe players might be a really tough job.
It'd be like trying to mic up drums altogether.
How would you do that?
Yeah. And then, of course, we got Kanekoa for the first
I
time.
I love Vincent Kanekoa. Yeah. That's awesome.
They used to play with us back in the day when we opened, like, imagine 21 years ago.
Wow.
So I'm very excited to
And
have
you've
come.
Heard the new album.
Yeah, I've heard some of the new
Isn't
album.
Isn't it amazing?
My friend Scott. From Dogtown
Design.
Scott
Johnson, yeah.
Scott Johnson's very involved. So we're honored and excited that they wanted to play. So 7:30 to 9:30, Kanekoa.
Well, the thing that's amazing is this whole thing is really reasonable considering, I mean, to get that kind of entertainment, some people would be charging hundreds of dollars. It's like $25 is all you're charging if you get tickets in advance.
Mm-hmm. 30
I mean,
at the door.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's pretty fair. I mean,
oh, it's very
people
fair.
Want to dance. There's room for dancing.
And you've got, we didn't even talk about the food.
Oh, we're giving away free T-shirts. So the first 50 people through the doors that obviously have paid get a free Mulligan's on the Blue St. Paddy's Day T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
It's got a little Guinness toucan on front. It says Slaunted. Pretty neat. Thank you to Diageo and Guinness for helping sponsor that.
Thank you for my T-shirt you're going to save for me.
There you go.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I want one.
Yeah.
So you got, let's talk about your food. Because you know what? You're the only owned and operated Irish bar. This is something you've been doing. You've been around coming up in May 21 years, right?
May 1st, it'll be 21 years.
Happy anniversary.
And can you believe this? There's been a shortage of Guinness in the Hawaiian Islands for the last 2 weeks.
I didn't know that.
We were out of Guinness for the first time in our lives this weekend. We had to resort to Guinness cans. So Guinness draft has been hard to come by. So it's coming in tomorrow.
Oh, my.
And apparently we will be one of the lucky ones.
Whew.
I heard Dog and Duck are getting a few, mm-hmm. but we're getting a few more. Anybody who's listening out there. So we will probably end up being the only ones with draft Guinness on St. Patrick's Day.
That's awesome.
There you go.
So, but of course, you've got to do your shepherd pie, which you're going to have to do, right?
Shepherd's pie, corned beef and cabbage.
Yep.
Fish and chips, which we think is the best on the island.
Mm-hmm. Bangers. You know what blew my mind is, I mean, I've never heard of this before. You're even doing a bangers veggie dish. I don't know. How do you
it's
do
a vegan bratwurst.
How do you do a vegan bratwurst?
Well, I mean, you know, I turned healthy there a couple of years ago when I stopped drinking heavily. And
you stopped drinking or stopped drinking heavily?
Both, actually.
Okay.
I was drinking heavily for 30 years, so... sober now. Anybody out there who's thinking about it, it can be done.
Yes.
And you can still be normal and go out and socialize.
I think better than normal.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe you see too much when you are sober and think too much. But so I started the vegan bangers and mash, kind of more like a joke take off on bangers and mash. And it's probably our, out of the top five, it's our fourth biggest seller.
I do it in a second.
Vegan gravy, vegan mashed potatoes, peas. Very simple. And it looks like a normal entree dish. So it's not like you're stigmatized. Oh, look at them.
They're vegans.
Yeah. It's totally normal. And
Can you bring that dish and send it over to Ireland? Because I found myself having a hard time sometimes.
In Ireland, we don't understand vegetarians and
vegans. I remember. It's like, well, vegetarian?
I was in my local pub 2 years ago with all my friends. And some farmers were in there. And a friend of mine who's a farmer, he said to me, Mike, he said, look at your man over there in the corner. I said, yeah, who's he? He said, I don't know his name, but I know he's a fucking vegan.
You can't say that on the air.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my God, I'm sorry. He said, and of course, I said nothing because I was a vegan at the time myself. And,
I didn't know you were a vegan.
Yeah, I did it for, it was a little hard in Ireland, uh-huh. but I, you know, and then I started cheating a little bit. So kind of try and keep the dairy out of my diet, you know?
That's tough.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
working
tough.
On my cholesterol. Yeah. As we all are, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
It's hereditary, too. It's an Irish gene.
I didn't know that. Seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
There's
heart
actually...
Heart disease.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
So everyone, the thing on this is it's going to be really selling out, and so it's the best thing to get your tickets early. You can actually even reserve a table if you go to mulligansontheblue.com, right?
Yep. Or you can go on to Eventbrite. We're sucking up the cost of the ticket, you know, the way they charge extras.
Yeah.
So for $25, rather than paying $30 at the door, you can go on Eventbrite. And we've limited, but the sales of tickets on Eventbrite. So mm-hmm. just go, I think, Eventbrite Mulligan's on the Blue or Eventbrite Maui or something like that.
Yeah.
And it should pop up. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be quite an amazing celebration.
Did you mention the face painting for the children?
No, and you didn't mention, I didn't mention the green ponies either.
Well,
I'm joking.
You were asking me how long we've been doing St. Patrick's Day. We've been doing it for 20 years. And the first 2 years, we had two ponies. One of the fire captains who's retired now, Mike McDougall, had these ponies, Bunky and Miley. And then we used to do the free pony rides on the lawn, which was brilliant.
Yes.
And then we used to have a bouncy castle. But, of course, Wailea put paid to that.
Yes.
But we do have Jolie from... who does the balloons. She's going to do face painting from 4 to 6 for all the kids.
Oh, fun.
So I'm kind of excited for that. And also we're going to do a beautiful balloon arch, like St. Patrick's Day
theme. Oh, nice.
People can take pictures and do stuff like that.
That costs a penny.
It does, yeah. But we're not into making much money on Paddy's Day. We're more into people coming out, COVID hopefully being in the rear view mirror. Not over yet, because you still got to be careful.
Yeah.
But, you know, compared to 2 years ago when we had to close down early, we're looking to open till 10. And we want people to come out and have a good time. And kind of like a thank you for being there for us when we needed everybody.
Well, we're going to get back to talking about Ireland, but I do want to give a bow of gratitude. I think people who know you were amazed how helpful you were during the heavy times of COVID. You were out there helping to feed people. I don't know, how many months was that? You were out there serving up meals and helping people, driving through, serving people food for months, right?
Yep. I mean, it's something I don't want to talk too much about, but when things happen, everyone's got to row in, and it takes a village. It's a community. We did it for a year, and my family was involved, my wife, my kids. Everybody got up early out of bed. People started volunteering, and it snowballed. We were doing 200, 240 meals at the end every Saturday, breakfast.
Wow.
And we didn't judge, you know. You pull up in your SUV, or you walk up, or you come up from the beach. Doesn't matter. Everybody needed something, and we were there. So we helped out and did a couple of things through Fabiani's and little things along the way, which, I felt good about doing it because there wasn't much else to do when everything was closed and stuff like that. So, yeah, and it's good because everybody got involved, and luckily it's come back to me. A lot of people have come out to support Mulligan's and kind of say thank you, which we do appreciate, Maui. So thank you for allowing me to live here, an immigrant from Ireland, I think 26 years now, and being able to survive, you know.
Where were you born in Ireland?
A little town called Clonmel. Clonmala is the Irish name, which means the Vale of Honey. It's a little valley.
What a nice name, the Vale of Honey. Was there lots of bees there?
Maybe in the heyday, you know, but population about 25,000.
Is that down south on the...
Down south, yeah, Tipperary, which is on the border of Cork and Kilkenny.
Which was one of the places most of the immigrants left from Cork, right? And when they were leaving Ireland, didn't they leave from Cork?
That's where one of the ships, big harbor down in Cork. Yeah, that's where it was.
So would you go to Cork when you wanted some excitement? Would you go from your little town down to Cork?
We think we have a big town. You know, it's like here, everybody feels... Cork and Tipperary would be like the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, my.
Very fierce rivalry when it comes to sports.
Wow.
And we play our national sports, Gaelic football and hurling. And we get pretty crazy about that, on the pitch, on the field.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, everybody can have a beer together, but very big sporting rivalry, and we have, it'd be like Super Bowl championship rings, and Ireland, Tipperary, I think, has 29, and I know Cork is 32.
Mm.
They're called All-Ireland championships. It'd be like a Super Bowl ring, so it's a big deal.
So in your family, how many in your family?
Six children, six.
I had five in my family, and I know what that's like. That's a lot. That's a lot of kids.
I think in the day it was probably an average or maybe a small Irish family back in the day. Did you know it's snowing in Ireland today? My mom sent me pictures. What date are we? March?
Is your mom still there?
Oh,
in the same
thank
town?
God. She's alive. My dad passed during the pandemic,
I remember.
Which is pretty sad.
Yeah.
But what day is it? March 6th?
8th.
March 8th. March 9th, we have snow-covered backyard in Ireland.
That's when you take pictures and
house.
Send everyone, right?
Unheard of, you know what I mean? So pretty funny, pretty cool.
So you've been visiting there a lot. You were visiting your father a lot, of course, before he passed on. You were going two or three times a year at least,
I went before he died, before the lockdown, and then we couldn't go, and then so I missed out on that. But I got to see him, you know, before, when he was sick. But,
and was that in the same town where you were?
Yeah, he was at home. He had bone cancer in the end.
Oh, that's tough.
And what did it for him was the chemo. It did his weakened his heart. And but at least he went peacefully. You know, I don't think he would have been up for hospice or long drawn out. You know, and
Now,
but
your brother's in Dublin now.
My brother's in Dublin, yeah.
And you decided something very interesting. I want to tell your story. Because I was talking about the problem of if you're going to Ireland, you know, number one, you got to deal with driving on the left side of the road. But there's also an age limit. They don't allow you to drive, I think, past 74 or 75. I'm not sure.
That's correct. I think it's 75.
And that they won't allow you to drive. And
or to rent a car, maybe.
To rent a car. That's it, maybe. But if you rent a car, then you got a question of how you're going to rent the car if you're not allowed to drive. But anyway, you did something very smart because you said the rentals were going crazy, like I guess the rest of the world.
It's universal.
Yeah,
in Canada, in Maui. I mean, there's Turo, there's all kinds of things. People are doing all kinds of deals. I mean, and now with the gas, it's going to get even worse.
That's
as you
true.
Can tell.
Now, but, you, and as many people may know, European prices on gas have always been higher than American prices on gas. When we were thinking it was bad at $4, they were paying $7, right?
And, you know, everyone's upset. They think it's going to go up 10% next couple of months. In my mind, 10% is nothing compared to what Europe is paying right now.
Right. So what were you what was the situation with the cars? You decided.
Well, I went home. I was going home for 4 weeks. I was going to stay with my mom. It was first time home since my dad had passed, and I wanted to do some quality time at home. But I started looking at rental cars. I started in June, and they were like the whole month. You see, it's a whole thing. Anybody who's listening there and wanting to travel to Ireland, don't sign up for the insurance before you go, because you're going to have to pay more insurance when you get there.
I didn't
know
that.
When you book your car with whatever, if you go through an agency or whatever, they'll say, oh, yeah, you want insurance. And then you show up and they're like, well, this doesn't cover really anything.
Wow.
And it's not really that valid. And if you have an accident, so you're better off, if you're booking a car, getting the basic rent, and then when you go there, paying the insurance.
Uh-huh.
Back in the day, you could use credit cards, remember?
Yeah.
If you had like a special credit card,
it
would cover your insurance.
American Express, and,
But that stuff doesn't work anymore.
So
the whole package, we're hitting on almost $4,000 euros for a full month.
$4,000?
So I gave that money to my brother, and I had him buy a car. He was going to trade in his car anyway. So I put that towards the car with a little bit more. And I asked him, could I rent the car? Not rent, can I have the car when I'm home each time? So he puts me on the insurance when I go home, which is a different situation if you have family in Ireland.
Yeah.
But as regards travel, we were just talking about the show. It is hard and it is not cheap.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're better off doing the tours, you know, from America,
mm-hmm.
all included. You jump on a bus with people, but then you don't get to stop where you want to get to stop.
I mean, I am sorry. I want to go back to Ireland, so does John, so much. But the problem is, I am not one of those people that could do a tour. I mean, I'm an independent traveler. I'm used to doing my own thing.
Sure.
Now, I mean, we talked a little bit before we were on the air about this renting a car or hiring a driver, which, I mean, I talked to my friend Christine Wong. She said, Cindy, you've got to just do this. This is what you got to do, is you got to hire a driver. Because if you want to do your own thing, you know, you can't necessarily, you said, what about public transit?
And I mean, the main cities you can get to, if you wanted to plan it that way, mm-hmm. so Dublin to Limerick, and that opens up the west coast of Ireland. And then if you were to rent a car or rent a driver from, rather than renting it from Dublin or doing specific to get to areas.
Right.
But then you could plan areas you want to go to where you spend a couple of days and you don't have a driver and you can wander around and just enjoy where you're at. But it's not cheap anymore. It definitely is not. You know.
Well, considering that they also have to pay gas.
I didn't tell you, though, when I was home, I surprised my wife. We stayed in Adair Manor for one night.
Oh, it's the castle.
Yeah, it's
for
a
those
castle.
That know, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's just reopened, recently.
Now, isn't that? That's on the west coast.
It's in Adair. It's outside Limerick. It's very close to the coast.
Yeah.
And it's probably the nicest hotel in Ireland right now.
Really?
And they're going to host
not
the
Not better than Drumoland.
It is right now.
Is it really?
Well, it's right up there with Drumoland Castle.
Drumoland,
But we did one night because that's all we could afford. And my friend is CEO there, so he gave us a nice deal.
Oh,
nice
suite. That's a lovely place.
They have a Michelin star restaurant. It was
fancy.
Oh,
yeah.
You know,
so
you got to treat
special.
Yourself once in a while.
Yes, I agree.
And
about
hosting,
400 a night?
I won't tell you.
Okay.
And then they're hosting the Ryder Cup next year.
Really?
They're hosting the Ryder Cup. They have a Ryder Cup golf course in Adair. It's owned by somebody, a famous Irishman, J.P. McManus, a big racehorse owner. So we had loads of fun, and it was really nice to get away. But once in a while, Adair Manor.
Yeah. So you were spending your time where mainly in the month?
At home with my mom, and then I would go horse racing and
greyhound
racing.
Where would you go horse racing?
Horse racing wherever. There's a famous meeting in Ireland in September for 5 days called Listowel. And it's a beautiful track over a river, and all the farmers come out and go horse racing.
Steeplechasing?
Steeplechasing, yeah.
I mean, people don't understand how it's different. Number one, I don't know if it's the same. I know in England, you race, horses race the opposite direction.
Generally speaking, yeah.
Yeah. So you don't go around counterclockwise. You go clockwise. You go counterclockwise in Ireland and England, going the opposite way.
Correct, yeah.
And a lot of the tracks have turf.
They're all turf, except for, I think, there's five tracks that are all weather or whatever you would call
it. And it's kind of, in a way, much more of a free-for-all than the Western tracks we're used to, right?
Well, they have turf, and they also have steeplechasing and flat racing.
Yeah.
And up to recently, they've done both at the same time. Like, the first three races might be on the flat, and then the next three might be over fences. So.
The thing is, though, it's hard to see it all because it's spread out. The steeplechasing, you can't just sit in the stands and watch it.
No, I mean, it's... 2 to 3 miles, or it can be 4 miles. But you can have binoculars, or you've got commentary and big screens. So it's fun. It's a lot different.
Oh, it's totally different.
Jumping fences at 35 miles an hour that are 6 foot high. Very interesting. Not for the faint-hearted.
No, these horses are, the Irish horses are strong.
Oh, well, they're bred for that.
Yes, they are.
That's their breeding. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And that's part of, in the blood of a lot of people, the Irish horses are really, it's part of lifestyle, isn't it?
Well, so is drinking and gambling.
And so is drinking and gambling. So where would you go for drinking and gambling?
I mean, you go to these festivals. I mean, Listun Varna is, you know, we stayed near Listun Varna for a night. All along the west coast, you got these beautiful spots. Lahinch, Listun Varna. Galway is a great spot. Connemara.
Galway, I know.
Kerry, Dingle. Spent some time in Dingle.
Okay, let's talk about Dingle. Dingle is like this amazingly charming, beyond belief city that's famous and was famous for its dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's definitely not a city. It's not, you know.
It's a town. It's
village,
a little town.
Almost village. Town. Yeah. 52 pubs.
And beautiful colored, you know, like you get in rare places here in America, but little colored buildings.
And very close to where they made Ryan's Daughter. Did you know that?
I do know that. Because you go to another place, if you go up the coast there, or inland, actually, you go to where that town is near the other castle there. You can also see that little town that where Ryan's Daughter and...
Well, the beach is 5 miles from Dingle.
Yes.
Where they filmed it.
Oh, that's... Yeah. I remember seeing that.
And the outlet
there. Yeah, yeah.
Like, Dingle would be one of the most western points in Ireland.
Yeah.
And
cliffs. We're talking... Yes, there was a beach, but there's lots of cliffs.
There is, yeah. It's a beautiful drive. Have you heard of the Connor Pass?
Yeah.
That's the drive into Dingle, which is...
I had to close my eyes.
Yeah, with the sheep.
No, I did. I had to close my eyes. Yeah. I was like... I was on the passenger side, okay? So you're driving up the coast, and the passenger side is right on the cliff.
For sure.
The driver's in the middle of the road, and you're looking down at cliffs where it's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, it's like, I got to close my eyes.
I worked in Dingle in 1986.
What'd you do?
I ran a restaurant there.
What did you serve?
Irish food.
Yeah.
Good old Irish food. But I went back in September, and I went to visit the Blasket Islands because we had to study the life at school of this lady called Peg, who lived in the Blasket and spoke Irish only and grew up, obviously no electricity, no running water, you know, they had to make a well and the whole lot. And I'd never been when I worked there, so last September I made it a goal of mine, on my own, I was single traveling, and I took the boat out to the island, spent the whole day
out there. Do you have a ferry there going?
Huh?
Do you have a ferry going?
They have a boat, seats 8 people. Kind of like something like going to Molokini, but longer.
Uh-huh.
And it was just amazing. And there are all these seals on the beach. And then on the way home, we had humpback whales.
Oh, my gosh.
And you couldn't believe this. Like in September in Ireland, humpback whales, kind of like whale season here. But talk about a beautiful trip.
The coast below, you know, heading down that west coast, there's that island where they filmed some of Star Wars? Is Star Wars or the that little tiny island which goes way up on a peak that it's like it used to be in the old times where the monks would go there and retreat.
Skelligs,
yeah. And that's a wild ocean
huge
down there.
Huge tourist
it is.
Venue now. And you get boats. If the weather's good,
you can take
a boat out and do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's not too far away. That's near Cahir Sivin. That's about 50 minutes from Dingle. But Dingle should be a... I mean...
Oh, Dingle, you
if
have
anybody
to
wants to go to Ireland, come see me at Mulligan's or get through, talk to you, and I'll tell you the ins and outs and the little, you know, little things to watch out for and whatever.
Bed and breakfast
is the way to go.
Oh, it is absolutely.
It's the way to go. You become best friends with the people who own them. And then they'll, if you're not sure where you're going to go, they'll give you directions and direct you on. And then, like you did, spend one or two nights at Dromoland or Adair and treat yourself. And there's nothing like these castles, you know.
So I'm thinking about Dingle, and there was a lovely little restaurant and bookshop where they also did music. You go in the front, I think it'd be the bookshop, and then you go in the back, there's like a cafe. And the lady who's the owner comes out, and you sit, and then they have music on certain nights. That's just the way that is. You know, it's all very friendly, and that's the way it is. And it was homemade soup with some...
It hasn't lost
the
its
brown
charm.
Bread. Yeah.
Even though it's tourist-driven, it's a beautiful... Yeah, I spent 2 nights there in September, and I'm going to go back in September. Of course, I sat on the boat with a gentleman and his sister. We became friends. He was Irish. He liked horses. Anyway, his sister owns a guest house, a bed and breakfast there.
Oh.
So she texted me actually today, say, hey, we have a room for you when you come back in September.
I want the name you sent. I'd love to go do that.
So how was that? You know,
like
free accommodation in Dingle just because you sat beside somebody on the boat. Yeah. You know, like, it doesn't get any better than
and
that.
And now, I'm trying to remember the name of the famous movie that had John Wayne. It was up above Drumoland.
Ashford Castle.
Ashford Castle.
Yeah, and the name of the movie was...
And there's a statue I can see.
Maureen O'Hara was in it.
That's it. Maureen O'Hara was in it, and it was called...
Is this live, this radio?
Yes, this is live.
Is there anybody out there who knows that famous...
No. You know it. You know it.
Of course I do.
You're driving me crazy, because I can see the statue, and I saw the movie three times.
I could watch that movie today.
And there's a little forest just outside it there, and it was all filmed right there.
So it's called The Quiet Man.
Is it The Quiet Man?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was called.
I love that one, and I'm not a
John Wayne
fan.
John Wayne in his heyday. A real Irish movie.
Yeah.
But I met Maureen O'Hara twice, actually.
Did you really? How did you meet her?
I waited on her in Bunratty Castle. I used to work in a restaurant there.
Wow.
And she's come for dinner. She was in her 70s at that stage. Mm-hmm. But she only passed a couple of years ago. She lived to be a very fine age.
Famous redhead.
Yeah, exactly.
A famous redhead.
The Quiet Man. So anybody who likes older movies and...
I watched all the movies before. Every movie about Ireland done in Ireland, I watched them all. And that was one of my favorites. And if you go that town, that's another place you can stay in that town. Because you can walk that town easily, and there's a little forest just across the bridge that it's lovely to walk in.
Yeah.
And it's very close to Ashford
Castle. I'll be honest,
Castle.
I've never been to Cong.
Oh, you
haven't?
I've
never seen it, no.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah, you've stayed there.
It's like Dingle. It's like Dingle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's charming. Yeah, yeah. But Ashford Castle, I wanted to stay in. It was all booked up. But Ashford Castle has, you know, all the things that you'd imagine a castle to have, including... The falcons. They have falcons, and you can go ride falconry, and you can ride there, and they have beautiful grounds. You can walk around. I couldn't stay there, but I walked the grounds, and they're beautiful grounds.
For sure.
I believe it's on a river.
It is.
It is, That river goes right through there. So it's pretty amazing.
And you know what's amazing about these expensive and high-end hotels and castles? The people are still Irish, and there's no airs and graces about them.
I would agree.
I became friends with the doorman at Adair Manor, and you know he was into horses too. And so the Irish hospitality is still there, even though it's a 5-star hotel.
Well,
so
I interviewed the guy from the general manager at Drumoland.
Drumoland, yeah.
And you know the Beatles stayed at Drumoland, and a lot of famous people have stayed there. But he was as nice as he could be, you know, no attitude either. And and it's got like 500 acres there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge.
I used to work at Drumoland.
You're kidding. Yeah, what did you do?
When I went to hotel school, college, it was 5-6 miles away. We used to go there on the weekends and wait tables for 2 years.
Well, it's got a beautiful dining room.
Yeah.
Very large, famous old dining
room,
right?
Many years.
Yeah, no, it's the old
stuff. And the doormen I was looking up were still there. Same people when I was there in 1985, 86, 87.
Well,
they're still working there.
I'm going to go back, and I am going to go back there because I did like the hospitality. That's part of it. And it's not too far. The thing that's cool about this castle is it's like you land in Shannon. It's only like a 20-minute, 30-minute drive.
At the most, yeah.
Yeah, right from the airport.
I mean, you could start your trip from there. You could get a taxi or a car just to drop you there, and then you know you
go to the cliffs some more.
Yeah, exactly, and do things like that. To have your independence. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, the cliffs of Moher are famous. Those are the huge, huge cliffs, and they've been in lots of movies. And also,
of course,
yeah. I mean, those lovely tall cliffs you can look at.
And they're probably about a 45-minute drive from Drumoland Castle. Probably an hour and 15 minutes from Shannon Airport.
Yeah, not bad.
And right beside Lahinch, you know, 5 minutes from Lahinch. If people are listening, that would be the nearest location. If you wonder, and the cliffs of Moher are definitely worth seeing.
And there's the Bridget's Well, St. Bridget.
Yeah.
St. Bridget was like an amazing woman that was actually one of the first powerful women in Ireland who started her own nunnery, I believe. And she's got quite an interesting story. And there's a well just outside there. You can go to her. People have left pictures and miracles have happened.
And then you can buy the St. Bridget's cross.
Yes.
Made from the reeds that she...
It was very special. And then you can go down and go to Limerick. It's not that far.
No.
I think it's a day's. You can go down to Limerick.
Yep.
But Limerick was different than I thought a little bit, you know.
It's a big city.
It's a big city.
Yeah.
Just like Galway.
Yeah. I thought Galway is more friendly. It's got more students
and more charm. More
charm
than Limerick
and
was.
Exactly on the coast. Limerick's a bit inland.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the River Shannon that leads out to the ocean. But Galway would be more friendlier.
I thought so. It had, nice
But you know, it's the Wild Atlantic Way.
Yes.
That's the drive to take. It starts off in Cork, goes through Kerry,
the Ring of Kerry,
Galway, and goes right up to Donegal.
I stayed at Muckross.
Muckross House.
Yeah, it's a very old place.
Beautiful.
And you know what? It's very reasonable. You can stay there for like 120, 150
That's
a night.
Bad, yeah.
It's right on a lake there.
Yep.
It's
and did
right
you go
the
to
lake.
The Muckross Park?
Yes, absolutely. Muckross Park is huge and wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's a town not far from there that has lovely pubs.
Killarney.
Yeah. Killarney. I stayed in Killarney too. I like Killarney a lot.
Yeah. It's a great town.
But you got to be careful on the Ring of Kerry, right? The Ring of Kerry, what happens is it gets too many buses.
Yeah. They've done a rule now that buses can only go one way.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because they were going both ways, and then everybody had to back up to let them pass.
Well, that was a mess. Yeah, it was like and there'd be times you'd only want to go at certain times before the buses came, right?
Right.
Because it would be too hard getting through, right?
Yeah. To compare it to Maui, it would be like coach buses going to West Maui Mountains.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it would be
right? If you were doing like the backside going to Kakaloa that way, can you imagine
that's
buses?
That's kind of how the Ring of Kerry would be.
Yeah, I mean, so it was a little crazy, but, you know, you can work around it. And truthfully, you don't have to do the whole Ring of Kerry. You can find a section of it.
It can be stressful, though, if you're driving.
Yeah, but there's some beautiful, charming, and I found the most amazing music store just outside. Also from Muckross, went way over the hill, and there's some lovely trails and paths. And then if you go to the next village over, there was a lovely musical instrument store, a very charming little town. I can't remember the name of it, but there, that, you know, what's that one where you go through the pass and there's that famous shepherd's, that little inn, and you have a bed and breakfast and a little there that it's named after a woman.
Gap of Dunloe. Kate Carney's Cottage.
Yes.
There you go.
I love that place.
Yeah.
I bought so many gifts there in that gift shop.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, because you can there. You can take I forget what they call it, but it's a horse.
A jaunting cart?
Yeah.
A jaunting cart.
Yeah, a jaunting cart, but that's pulled by a horse.
Yep.
And then you go up this amazing, I walked it because John didn't want to go on the cart. Yeah. But you can walk, and it's very mystical, very, very cloudy and interesting, but lovely wild scenery, right?
Yeah.
You've been there, right?
For sure. Yeah, I've been there.
And you can go back in there, and it's really lovely. I mean, truly, you get some lovely pictures. Very interesting spot indeed. Mm-hmm. But they do have a bed and breakfast right there next to Kate.
Carney's Cottage.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful part of the world for sure.
Yeah.
And the lakes in Killarney are beautiful too. You can get a little motorboat and they take you out to little islands and stuff like that.
What's your favorite spot to go to? Because you were there for a month. You could have gone anything. Where did you say you have to go?
Dingle would it be one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I could hole up in Dingle. I could live there for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's comfortable,
isn't
it?
Even though it's touristic, it's a little bit isolated.
Yeah.
Kerry is a law unto themselves. They call that county, you know, there's 32 counties in Ireland. Kerry, they call themselves the kingdom.
I didn't know that.
So they don't travel anywhere else. They think they have everything else contained in the kingdom, which they do. So, you know, other than games and sports to leave, they don't go to Dublin for any reason. So
tell me about the Druids and the, because I went up to that area where you have the old, I mean, they go back thousands and thousands of years, right? Mm-hmm. Where the Druids actually built those large slabs over things, and people, they would be burial sites, right?
Right.
And that's a ways up there, and you can
it's
drive.
It's outside Dublin, Monk's Grange?
No, on the other side. It's on the west coast. That area where they have the very famous old Druid caves and even some burial sites there.
Oh.
It's up above Dare. It's above all of that, way up.
In Clare? Or
No, it's above Dermolden, about 2 hours up.
Oh, okay.
It's famous grounds where you can see where the Druids built all the actually gravestones that were very, very famous, you know. And it's a whole different landscape up there, much rockier, you know, than the other part. What's it called?
Burren.
Thank you. Burren.
Yeah. There you go. I know the Burren well. Yeah.
He's listening. He doesn't usually do that.
He definitely wants to go to Ireland again.
He does want to go to Ireland again. Yeah. It's our dream to get back to
Ireland.
So
it's not that far. Yeah, I know exactly where the Burren is.
Yeah.
And I think Aylwy Caves.
Yes.
Yeah, the caves are right there.
Yeah. I met a Druid poet, and it was wonderful just talking to him. You know, and there is this energy of the Druid there. I have to say, you feel it. If you're at all sensitive, it's very ancient and it's very real, you know. I mean, I believe maybe, yes, certain people can sense fairies and other things, but the Druid energy is a powerful energy, and it's still alive.
Mm-hmm. for sure.
I mean, do you ever feel it when you go to some of those ancient places, the old oaks and the old feeling?
Sometimes when the fog and the mist comes in, for sure, it's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a little vibe of that, without a doubt. Yeah.
Well, it's in their DNA. Yeah. You're talking about DNA.
Yeah.
It is, kind of, right?
Yeah. Have you seen that new series, Vikings?
No, is it good?
I don't watch TV, but it was on the other night and I got into it. Vikings, Valhalla, pretty interesting. So it involves the druids and the whole lot, you know, coming over.
Oh, I got to check that out. Well, then let's go into St. Patrick's, the tradition, of course. I mean, we got to go back to that since it's a week away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, St. Patrick was an interesting fellow who was actually a slave. He left.
Did you know what country he was from?
It was England, wasn't it?
Wales.
Rome. Oh, it was Wales.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he went over there, and wasn't he a slave?
He was, yeah. And they had him herding sheep. Somebody sold him as a sheep herder.
In Ireland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess he came back, and he brought Christianity to Ireland in the form of the shamrock.
Right.
You know the story?
The Holy Spirit, the three. Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
And he picked up, at the time, it was wasn't a flower, it was a kind of a weed. But now it's sacred. He picked up this weed to explain the Holy Trinity, the three pieces of it. And that's how the shamrock has the three leaves. And that's how it started. Yeah. And he educated the Irish.
And
he banished all
that?
Snakes from Ireland.
Yes.
I don't know exactly. I'd have to Google it.
Yeah, we'd have to. But the thing is, you went to St. Patrick's, you've been in Dublin.
Yes.
In Dublin, it's an amazing church.
It is indeed.
I mean, goes way back, obviously. You know.
But like, you know, people get the wrong impression. St. Patrick's Day is still a Christian Catholic ceremony, church mass and a parade and things like that. So we still do the festivities and the music, but it started off as a religious ceremony, and it still is. There still is marching. Since COVID's over now, there'll be big St. Patrick's Day parades.
I heard that it's going to be a parade that's going to be huge this year, and they don't usually do much of that. But you know what?
Yeah, people want to get out. They want to come out.
They do, and just like Cinco de Mayo's not big in Mexico, St. Patrick's Day wasn't treated like it's treated
here. No, not like a party.
Yeah, not like a party. Yeah. But at the same time, tourists go there waiting and wanting something like they think it's going to happen here, right?
Yeah.
So they go, well, go ahead and give them something.
One of the reasons we're doing that at Mulligan's, I mean, no expense spared. We got the huge pipe band, best band on the island, Conicoa.
How many bagpipers?
There's 30 of them.
30 bagpipers.
So close your ears.
Oh, my.
if you're in Wailea on Thursday, be careful. Be warned. We got the bagpipers in the house.
It's going to be something to videotape. Can you imagine?
Well, they're all about it. I mean, some of them are young kids, and it's great to see the culture and, you know, dress up and put on the kilts and the whole lot, you know.
Well, when you get a group of bagpipers together like that, and you have the world champion bagpipe player, is there a bit of, like, competition from people who see someone from Canada come in and he's the world champion and they're going, hey, wait a second, you don't know what we got. We got here, right?
Oh, there's loads of respect. He's coming here and he's doing a workshop with them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's teaching these people and showing them. And he's the most modest. I've met him a bunch of times, the most modest, nicest guy you could ever meet. So there's no ego there whatsoever. So it's more like, can we play this? Show us this? How does this go? And, you know, it's fantastic.
Are they going to be in their kilts?
Oh, for sure. Of course.
That makes it even more picturesque. My gosh, we got to love men in kilts, right?
And there's a Hawaiian plaid, you know, that was created. And it's listed, Hamish, you know, he's back on Ireland now. Hamish, the bagpiper.
Yeah.
He's created, there's a Maui plaid, a plaid that's pretty neat
I have never seen it.
Because everyone's registered in, you know, each country or each region.
I wonder have you seen the colors?
Yeah, it's a darker color. It's not as bright as the tartan, the
not
Scottish.
The red,
But plaid, kind of purplish colors. I'd have to ask him. He's probably listening out there somewhere.
I would love to see that. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You think so? Someone will have that?
Oh, yeah, of course. Some of them have them. Yeah, for sure.
How cool is
that? Yeah.
It's a big, big deal. When you have to do a big event like this, I mean, who's going to be just handling? I've done stage management. Trying to handle this many people on and off is like an art, to try to get the people on and off, get them on time. Musicians are famous sometimes for being late.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have ever noticed that?
After 2 years in the pandemic, we're just happy to have the musicians.
That's true.
And I've learned you know, with blood pressure and stuff like that, there's no point in letting it bother you anymore.
Right.
You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you got to enjoy it. We're on Maui.
Yeah.
How lucky are we that we can live here? And it's snowing in Ireland right now, and we're in March, you know? So, yeah, we're just happy that we have great musicians on the island. And Kaneakoa are a perfect fit. They've been playing music for, I think, almost 30 years together.
You know, what's amazing is they do all kinds in this new album they have out. They have Jake Shimabukura, you know, doing ukulele music, and they have Amy Hanaili Gilliam. I mean, it's like that shows the variety of what you can do, you know? We're a mixed match of all kinds of talent that people learn from each other, right? So you never know what's going to happen. It's a beautiful brew of sorts, right?
Very exciting, yeah.
It really is. Yeah. And people, you've helped the musicians through the years. Many, of course, we can't help but think of Willie Kay.
We were
doing a little ad for you. You said, can we put Willie Kay doing Danny Boy behind it? Do you have that on your phone? I'm going to ask you to try to find that. Because
I do have it somewhere.
I'll talk while you try to find it, because you know what? I mean, there's something, we think about March, you know, and I think Willie Kay passed away in March.
May 19th.
Oh, May 19th.
Yeah.
But we thought of Danny Boy and Willie Kay singing Danny Boy. And if what could be a strong example of how Hawaii embraces all kinds of music, and when Willie Kay would sing anything beautifully, but when he'd sing Danny Boy. And many of you know, Willie Kay loved performing at Mulligan's, and his last live performance was at Mulligan's.
That's true.
And before he got too ill to play anymore. And you couldn't keep that guy down. He was playing at Mulligan's when people were saying, you can't do this. You're not supposed to be up and playing. You can't do this. And his wife would try to say, no, you can't do this. And you couldn't stop him.
Right.
He'd be out there playing. Oh, that's him? Is that him? Yeah. Hold that up to the mic. We got to turn that up. Here. What a blessing to have that, you remember.
Yep.
Of Willie Kay there performing all those St. Patrick's Days in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
Truly a blessing. Some magic moments have happened at Mulligan's over the years, but Willie Kay brought a lot of them.
He made them.
He made them, absolutely. Yeah.
He was the reason we're still in business.
Yeah, truly one of the greats. Well, people, we're out of time. We've got 10 seconds. Go to Mulligan's, your website, Mulligan's on the Blue.
Yeah, Mulligan's are 874-1131 if they want to, you know, buy tickets or make a reservation.
Or Eventbrite. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mike, for coming in.
Thank you very much, Cindy, for having me.